make it where you want to go.
Jack Mason,
hey, welcome to Deadpan number 194. I am your host, Jack Mangan, and I am like a surgeon. This is the Spatchapalooza, which means that we are doing the Deadpan Palooza treatment on the classic 1989 cult classic, UHF, starring Weird Al Yankovic. For a while, I actually wasn't sure if we were going to get any feedback at all, but then at the last minute, a whole bunch came in, so I wanted to say thank you very much to everyone out there.
Thanks a lot. Oh, I don't believe this. This is great. Hey, thanks again. No, really. This is great. I can't believe it. Oh, I can't believe this. Oh, Jack. Really, thank you so much. What a boss. This is great. I can't believe it.
I think this is actually a fun episode, and I do hope that you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed putting it together. I want to pause a moment to give absolute best wishes to everyone out there in the Deadpan community who's not feeling completely 100% this week. I know we've had some illnesses out there. And also, as far as Deadpan cleanup goes, next week, or the next episode, I should say, will be a somewhat standard issue Deadpan. Now, I know we'd actually had The Third Man, the old movie, on the books, but I think a lot of us have not yet watched it and had time to really process it and come up with contributions. So let's put that two episodes out. So the next full-length episode will be a regular Deadpan. The follow-up will be The Third Man Palooza, which actually will be called The Lima Palooza. So I encourage you to watch it. It's old, but it's an excellent movie. All right, enough of me intro babbling. You definitely don't want to hear this for one more minute. On with the UHF Spatchapalooza.
Hey, Jack. This is Jeremy from Seattle, and this is my completely unscripted, oh, crap, I got to do something for UHF Palooza. So I just wanted to give a couple of thoughts. So I watched it kind of during work and was able to actually pay attention to it, though. And I remember as a kid just loving this movie and thinking it was the funniest thing on God's green earth, funniest things from sliced bread, and just parts of it just really stuck out. Rewatching it is like I remembered things that I was like, oh, I remember that, and oh, yeah, I used to think that was so funny, and oh, my God, it's so not funny anymore. Weird Al, I mean, God bless his humor, was the most annoying thing. Like, when he was calling his girlfriend and screaming and stuff, and it's just like, what are you doing? It's horrid. And I really actually didn't laugh at, or didn't even smile, which is kind of weird, at all watching the whole thing, except for one part, and that was the part where the bad guys had Stanley and they went to try to find him, and the whole rescue thing was botched, but then one bad guy heard a noise, and it was coming from the supplies closet, and it showed the supplies closet, and then it opened up, and all of a sudden, supplies! And that just lends itself really well to my humor, and I was cracking up, actually. I also remember at the end, when I was a kid, when the tech turned into an alien and went off into space, that was, I was like, whoa, it totally blew my mind.
And I think that there'd be a lot less affection for it.
Pretty lame. So
I'm going to fire up IMDb because I can't remember squat about, I was thinking about that alien guy. I was going like, oh yeah, that alien guy. What the hell's his name? Like, I guess I should know his name if I'm talking about the movie. I should be able to say, oh yeah, Rupert, I think.
You mean the,
Rupert.
The engineer who becomes an alien and
yes,
Philo.
Philo. Why the hell did I think it was Rupert?
I don't know.
Well, very nicely done, though. I had, and I don't know how I took the next step from Rupert to Ruprecht, but that's That's more like a Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah, that's a great movie, too. That should be in the next list.
Well, you know, they do have some similarities in that there's a lot of dead space, but yet there's also, like, some moments, some comedy moments that are just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much Steve Martin's career in a nutshell, isn't it? I mean, his brilliant flashes, and then there's Parenthood. I mean, I don't know what happened with that one, but
I will challenge you to 10 rounds in the ring over that crack about Steve Martin. Actually, I'm a Steve Martin defender. I think Parenthood, there's probably no funnier scene in any movie ever than when the power goes out and he goes to find a flashlight, and then he comes out and the power comes back on and he's holding the vibrator. I think that's okay.
Well, then how about if I said the Pink Panther 2?
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? I haven't seen either of his Pink Panther movies, but I there's probably no defense.
I sat through the Pink Panther with the kids, and I said, please don't let them make a sequel to this. And they did. And I refused to see the second one. I'm sure it's comedy gold, but I refused.
Steve Martin. Yeah, you know what? Fuck you, UHF. Anyway, Steve Martin. I'm a big fan. You know, Roxanne was great.
Yes,
the Man with Two Brains. No, he has done an awful lot of shit in his career. but you know, he doesn't need us. He doesn't need you.
No, he doesn't. No.
All he needs is this lamp. That's it. All right. I suppose this is UHF Palooza, so we should stop. Steve Martin has nothing at all to do with the UHF film.
Unfortunately.
Or, you know what, I'm sure you can 6 degrees of Steve Martin and get him connected to UHF. Probably. I'm sure. I'm sure that he and Frank Drescher or Michael Richards have been on the screen together at some point.
Yes. Yeah, he probably had a walk onto The Nanny or on Seinfeld somewhere, so there you go.
Right. Or actually, you know what, I know what it is. He was he's one of the most frequent guest stars ever on SNL.
Victoria Jackson.
Of course.
There you go.
Yes. You know what? She'll always be Victoria Principal to me. So, holy crap, I wonder how much time we've eaten up not talking about you and Jeff.
You're timing this stuff? Wow. No.
Well, hang on, I have to turn over the hourglass.
Well, then let's talk about UHF. Greatest movie ever made. Okay, well, that's the end of the interview there. There you go. All right,
so yes, Weird Al, you know, it's his only feature film. Today, I mean, he's been in other movies.
Yes.
He was he had probably one of the funniest jokes in, I think it was The Naked Gun 2.
I vaguely remember that movie, but again, Leslie Nielsen is another excellent actor who we could probably at least spend another 7 minutes talking about, but yes.
Still not talking about UHF, wanted to point that out.
But we are talking about parodies, though.
Yes, I am the obstacle, so I'm going to shut up. Go ahead and Dan Charette. My lovely and talented guest, the host of the Out of the Coffin podcast, which also has nothing to do with UHF.
Nope, there's no vampires in UHF either. Damn it, why am I on this show again? Oh, right, because I love Weird Al Yankovic.
Hello, my name is Steve Spadowski, and my brother Stanley, he had this great TV show that I really used to like to watch, but we just watched it recently, but... as a movie, and it's not so good that way without watching the whole show, because it's even better than what you saw, and I didn't, you know, enjoy it too much until my brother Stanley was on it, and then he did all his fun stuff like drinking from the fire hose, which was so great, because we used to do that when we were growing up, and it was even better when my brother got his mop back, because that mop is so great, and I really want a mop like that, but they don't make mops like that anymore, and that's my brother Stanley's, and you know, I'd like to see the show again, because they're not on anymore. It's only cable, and they don't have UHF anymore, and that was my brother Stanley's show, and he's really good at cleaning, but which they didn't show too much of, but you should see the way things are clean after he's done. But okay, I have to go now because it's time for my medicine. Bye bye.
All right, so go on.
Please. How much time do we have? Okay, no.
We're done. We're out of time.
All right, so I'm a huge Weird Al Yankovic fan. I mean, grew up listening to Dr. Demento and Weird Al, and it's all about the Pentiums is my theme song. But White and Nerdy is just a little too real for me, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was there's actually someone who had that as a ringtone yes. for me, and I was a little I wasn't a little bit offended. I was extremely offended. So, but yeah, I appreciate that, and didn't mean to cut you off. But yeah, I appreciate that, and I think that is if the same exact movie had been done, and Weird Al had nothing to do with it. And I think there'd be a lot less effective.
Yeah, and I don't think you could have made this movie without him because, I mean, well, first off, he wrote it, so, you know, there's that. But, I mean, this is totally a vehicle for Weird Al Yankovic, totally. And I think it's a great movie. I mean, he was created pretty much for MTV's, the whole generation. That's us. We watched MTV. And if it wasn't for MTV, there would probably be no Weird Al Yankovic. So we have really to blame MTV for UHF. But still, I mean, even the Beverly Hillbillies video in the middle of the movie is right off of the whole Money for Nothing video. I mean, it's just the same video. It's just brilliant. That whole just plays right into it. And the great comedians in this movie, too. I mean, people who eventually become famous, like Michael Richards and Fran Drescher, and Uncle Harvey, I forget his name, but he's been in lots of movies too. And Emo Phillips, for God's sakes, how could you forget Emo Phillips? That's like a minute of my life I'll never get back, that scene with the shop teacher who loses his finger, you know?
Yeah, Emo Phillips was that was really inspired casting. I think he was really a wonderful choice there.
Oh no, this never happens.
Boy, is my face red.
Is my face red?
Yes. Well, you know, I think what we just did, I think that's the UHF experience.
It is.
Beverly Hillbillies. Huh, now, looky here, people. Listen to my story. A little story about a man named Jed. You know something? That poor mountaineer. They say he barely kept his family fed. Now let me tell you, one day he was shooting. Old Jed was shooting at some food. When all of a sudden, right up from the ground, there came a bubbling crude. Oil, that is. Well, maybe you call it black gold or Texas tea. He gonna move next to Mr. Drysdale and be a Beverly Hillbilly. Before you know it, all the kinfolk are saying, yeah, buddy, move away from there. That little Clampett got his own cement pond. That little Clampett, he's a millionaire. Now everybody said, California is the place you ought to be. We gotta load up this here truck now. We gotta move to Beverly Hills, that is. Swimming pools. Move-a, movie stars. Look at that. Beverly, Beverly Hillbillies. Y'all come back now, you hear? Beverly, Beverly Hillbillies. George? Hey, George? I finished polishing all the doorknobs.
And also, I wanted to say that I felt like it was just kind of the whole movie was bookends to the Beverly Hillbillies music video because it was kind of wedged in there. The best part about the movies were the
back then I kind of walked out saying like, wow, that was just, you know,
when he was dreaming, because they were the most well produced and they were just kind of awesome. But there was only like three of them, and
CJ and Dan out there, and
they were wedged in there, and so that's about it. And hopefully I'll be able to watch The Third Man. We'll see. If something tells me it won't be, it'll be a little harder to really sit there and watch it at work. Probably not going to happen. So, all right, talk to you later.
My history with this movie is, I was the right age for Weird Al. I was 10 when I first heard Eat It. And,
yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
I did grow up just loving what this guy did. And as I, you know, as I got older, though, I still always kind of had this affection for Weird Al and what he did and, this, you know, the silliness of what he did. And kind of funny, apparently UHF was going to save the summer for the studio that released it.
Right.
And it ended up being just, you know, so it got this hot summer spot, but it was actually up against stuff like Batman and these huge movies, and it was a total flop. And but you know, I was one of those people who went to see it in the theater. I did see UHF in the theater, And, you know, even back then, I kind of walked out saying, like, wow, that was just, you know, the story was just pure formula. It was just the sure. Every single 80s fucking comedy had that formula, had like, oh, no, our end quotient thing is in trouble, so we have to raise money in some silly way to save our thing against, or otherwise the evil guy, the comically evil guy is going to shut it down. You know, right. That was every single comedy back then. And
yes, but this was like the feel-good hit, man.
Well, you know, the thing is, there were, and even this last time, I've watched this movie countless times. This last time, I will argue, I do disagree with people who say it's not dated at all. I mean,
well, it's totally dated, but that's, it's a snapshot of my youth.
Well, right.
And I love it because of that. It's totally dated, but dude, it's the 80s.
Well, right. I mean, the fact that it's about a UHF station, I mean, right there, you can't right. tell me it's not dated. It's about, right. you know, that's something that cannot exist now. And
well, yeah.
right. I mean, it cannot exist. You cannot go out and watch UHF now.
Well, you can, but it looks like this. Like that.
That was actually Dan. That wasn't my microphone.
This time.
Right. But you're right. I had a fondness. I remember there was a UHF music video station I was fond of. But, you know, mainly it was, for me, it was Weird Al. That was what got me in the theater. And when I walked out of that theater, I didn't walk out, you know, with a thumbs down. I walked out, you know, I said, that, wow, that was great. Because of, and every time I watch it, it's not because it's such a great story. I mean, the story is pretty bad, and actually it's pretty poorly delivered. I mean, it's like, the end is like 15 minutes of comically bad things happening to the villains. You're just kind of going like, okay, they won. The bad guy's a jerk, and he gets poop on his face. I get it. I know, it's just mud, but I'm just saying, it's just, but that's not, for me, that's not the UHF experience. The UHF experience is all of the brilliant little moments, and it's the Spatula City.
There's just one place to go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City!
Spatula City! A giant warehouse of spatulas for every occasion.
Is the yes. first thing, you know, and in fact, probably the geekiest photo of me ever taken is on my Facebook page of me receiving a...
Yeah, the Spatula City gift set.
Spatula
there, yeah.
City gift set as a birthday gift from CJ and Dan out there. And
yep.
But you know that Conan the Librarian.
Yes. Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System?
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time he cuts the kid in half, that will
just
never
a little late.
That will never not be funny.
And now a Channel 68 special news bulletin. The Canadian Broadcast Standards Council announced today that it would ban all future reruns of the TV series The Beverly Hillbillies due to the use of the offensive word clampet in the lyrics to the theme song. One television station has already vowed to run a non-stop marathon of the series in protest.
And actually, even this time, there was a joke I'd forgotten, but you know, where the guy walks in, his mustached guy,
oh, yeah.
Salesman walks in and gives him the bad
take
news.
Take that silly thing off.
Great stuff. And that for that reason, you know, UHF gets a lot of cred for me. So that's why, you know, I don't disagree with people who love UHF. I also don't disagree with people who say, oh my God, it's so dated. And oh my God, what was I thinking? Or oh my God, I never liked this movie. I don't disagree with either camp. And that's not just me trying to be diplomatic. I definitely get all the beefs with it, but I will stick up for it. For those funny moments, I mean, the supplies joke is still funny.
Supplies!
What was that?
Hmm? Hold on. Thought I heard something.
What?
I don't know. I just thought...
Supplies!
What's the matter?
Borderline racist and offensive, but you know, still hilarious.
You're so stupid.
Yes.
How can you? That is comedy gold right there.
Yes, and actually, that's the thing. It's an immensely, and you and I talked about this before the recording session. What a quotable movie, and
yes,
and the quotes come up frequently. It's not like, you know, every once in a while. I mean, the couple of quotes from this movie are enduring. You know, the "you're so stupid." I think of that. Probably far too often, actually, during, you know, directed at myself.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
But, you know, that said, and I talked to, I think, one of the guys who was in the crew of us that went to go see it back in 89. Believe it or not, a bunch of guys went to see it. None of us were on dates.
No.
To go see UHF, believe it or not. There's some really painful moments going back through it. I said, you know, alongside the brilliant moments. I said, well, that movie is great pacing until the Rambo scene. He said, then the Rambo scene. And, you know, I remember the Rambo scene as being funny. But then, you know, I watched it with that in mind. I thought, yeah, you know, this really is painful. It just goes on forever. I mean, he's like blowing up city. And it's,
right.
So while you're just going.
The Eiffel Tower.
Right. I mean, it was kind of no-brainer satire, but it was funny. You know, it's funny seeing him in that muscle suit and, you know, walking.
He was ripped.
Right. And walking up to the guy, you know, in slow motion, pulling out the bow and arrow. That's, but it does go on for too damn long. I would say the same thing about the Beverly Hillbillies. It just kind of is a complete, like, even though it, in and of itself, it's a pretty funny video. It is a complete speed bump.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that said, I'm beating up on the movie a lot, but I do have a lot of affection for this movie. And the funny moments are just too funny for me to give the movie a negative, you know, negative critique here on our palooza. So there you go. I'm done. I'm out.
All right.
Hi, this is Crazy Joe. I want to talk to you about the movie UHF. Specifically, I want to talk about the fall of 2008. I took a road trip. I was moving from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona to crappy Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where I'm still held captive to this day. And it was a 3-day road trip. And on the second night, I spent the night in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was the shooting location for the movie UHF. And it was really, really awesome because I got to visit some of the places that were in the movie. And what I did was I got to Tulsa late one night, and the next morning I woke up bright and early, and I went to 3 locations. There were several listed online, but I just went to 3 of them. I went to Big Edna's Burgers, where Al worked at the beginning of the movie, and Big Edna threw him out. And then I went to Cooney's Karate School, which is like a water reclamation plant or something in real life. And finally, I went to the best location of them all, in my mind. I went to the Raoul's apartment, you know, where he shot Raoul's Wild Kingdom and taught poodles how to fly. And I actually have photos of me standing outside the window, pointing to the window where Raoul threw the poodles out. Now, I got to tell you, I am a firm believer that UHF is one of the finest comedy films of the 1980s. I think it's still hysterical, and it's really held up well. But this was an awesome experience for me, and to get and visit these sites is just one of the coolest things. Now, if you're passing through Tulsa and you want to see these sites, there is a website. If you Google UHF shooting locations, you know, in Google, you'll find UHF My 15-Year Pilgrimage. And it's a website that some guy named Rob put up about when he went to visit the sites. And it's a little outdated because he has photos of like what it looked like in the movie and what it looked like now. And it's since changed. But I recommend it if you are a fan of this film and you are near Tulsa or passing through Tulsa, Google this website, find the addresses, and check it out for yourself. It's pretty awesome.
So I have a dumbass memory for you related to UHF.
Nice.
I too saw this movie when it came out in 89. Probably the 1 month it was in theaters, right, in 89.
Right.
Unfortunately, it did not stay around very long. I don't know why, but this movie almost killed me because I went to the movie by myself. I didn't even have friends to go with me to see this movie, Jack. And I remember going to the movie, was enjoying my popcorn, laughing my ass off, and during Raoul's Wild Kingdom and him teaching poodles how to fly, I shit you not, I choked on popcorn and had to give myself the Heimlich. And then was able to continue laughing my ass off and watch the movie. So
this is not a true story.
This is totally a true story. I would not make this shit up, Jack. This is totally a dead-ass memory.
A dead-ass memory. That's perfect.
A dead-ass memory because it's that bad. I could have been a dead-ass. And, totally. I came this close, man. If it were not for years of watching Quincy on television, no, I don't know. MASH, maybe. I don't know who to credit that to. But
it was on popcorn.
Yeah, the popcorn, man. So
it's a good thing you didn't get the Raisinettes.
It is. Wow. Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, that is a really incredible story.
So to this day, whenever I watch UHF, I will not watch it with food.
Yes, let that be a warning to everyone out there. Caution.
It is. It's deadly.
And actually, I believe Raul, the movie actually was dedicated to his memory. So if I...
Yes, yeah, he passed away, I think, while they were shooting it or near the end of it. Yes. So it's very sad, but still. Badgers, we don't need no stinking badgers.
Right.
And, the ant farm. Oh my God, the ant farm. Oh, they're really mad now.
Yeah. And that was, you know, the look on Al and nameless sidekick's face when they're watching that.
Bob. Yeah.
Bob, yeah. Who, you know, he should have put like John Bermuda Schwartz or one of his friends in that role, you know, or one of his bandmates in that role. I mean, that guy, who the hell is that guy?
Well, for years I thought that was David Bowie, but it's not David Bowie.
Actually, I'm looking at IMDb. No, the actor's name is David Bowie, B-O-W-E. No, that was not right. David Bowie.
It's like, where's Bowie's cameo, man? Everyone's got a cameo.
Yeah, Bowie.
Emo Phillips has got a cameo. Where's David Bowie at?
He was busy putting on the way too tight tights for a Labyrinth at the time, I think.
Ah, that could be 89, yeah, about the same time.
No, I guess not.
Okay, this is CJ, and hopefully that other message was completely eradicated. I am calling the listener line to talk about UHF. I'm going to be hopefully submitting content or later today or something. But in any case, the first time I actually saw the movie UHF was when it was originally released in the theater in 1989. I went with a guy, a coworker. I don't know that we were dating, whatever, I just went with a coworker. And we saw the movie, and there was a scene in the movie. Obviously I love the movie, and it was immediately one of my favorite movies of all time. But the scene always sticks out for me because in the theater I literally lost my marbles, for lack of a better term, when they were in the meeting room and the guy says, this is an embarrassment, a disgrace. What do you think R.J. Fletcher Sr. would be saying if he were alive today? And he's like pointing at the portrait on the wall. And the son, Richard Fletcher, said, help me out of this box. I can't breathe in here. Help, let me out. And it was this moment of hilarity for me where it was such a simple joke, really a simple joke. And I literally laughed myself right out of my seat. I was laughing so hard that people in the theater were turning and staring at me, and my companion was like telling me to calm down, please, because he was embarrassed. And I could not stop giggling, whether it was, you know, because the movie itself was just affecting me to that extent, and at that moment it all hit me at once, or if I just thought that was so funny. But I remember him, like, looking at me and being like, I really, really wish I was not with her right now. So I guess we could qualify as a dumbass memory because I really liked the guy that I was with, and I kind of, I probably frightened him with my nerdy hilarity outburst. But then, you know, that's a part of who I am. So there you go. And hopefully I'll have more to submit later with that's not going to come over the voicemail. And, yeah, there you go. Bye.
You know, another reaction I do remember, and I don't know why I remember this from 1989, but I remember thinking, coming out, like, you know, this wasn't really like the Weird Al movie. This was more like the Stanley Spadowski movie.
Sure.
Because it really was his story, like his, you know, ascendance and triumph with his mop. And I don't call me cynical. I always kind of wondered if that was, if, you know, whoever gave Weird Al permission to do this movie, they probably went like, wait a minute, you're the eat it guy? Sure. Make some stupid comedy, but it's going to feature our hot new guy, our hot new talent prominently. And I don't know if that's the case. I'm just speculating. But yeah, Michael Richards had an awful lot of screen time and a lot of, you know, he took a lot of your attention because he had this amazing, the Stanley Spadowski character that was just completely over the top and completely,
absolutely,
you know, very attention grabbing. And
you got to wonder how much of it was actually improv too, because I mean, if they actually wrote his dialogue, oh my God, because he delivered it perfectly, but I got to wonder how much of that was actually improv, you know, like the cornflakes. He's spinning the guy around. No. I
can't just, And you know, Michael Richards, you know, racism aside, he is a funny guy. And, you know, obviously, you know what? Actually, I did notice, I'd never noticed this before, watching this time around, he does have a comical room entrance. I kind of went like,
yeah,
there's the beginning. That's where it all begins. You know, he does this funny thing with the door at one scene. I'm like, wow, there you go.
It's Kramer. Oh my God, yes.
Glimpses
of the future.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador. I have just a couple of thoughts I'd like to share about UHF. First of all, in my opinion, this was the most fun Palooza movie we've watched, with Repo Man in second place. Whoever suggested UHF, thank you. I think it's a good idea that we had a light, enjoyable experience for this Palooza. And if The Third Man is as intense and serious as I get the impression it is, then I'm really glad... No, I have not seen Third Man yet, but I'm going to. Then I'm really glad we decided to do them together to provide some balance. Secondly, the first time we enter in the movie, the first time we enter the UHF Channel 68 TV studio, and we see the mad scientist's lair with all the bubbling lab equipment and all that, I only had one reaction to that. Beakers? Of colored liquids? But that must mean there's science going on here! By the way, the thing about the beakers of colored liquids is funny to me because it's a long-standing running joke on one of my other favorite websites, coldfusionvideo.com, and I've always wanted an excuse to say it out loud, so now I just did.
Now, there's also a weird reminder of the past. There was these weird, weird comedian twins who I don't think anybody ever understood these guys or their appeal or why they ever got on television, but they have a 2-second cameo in this movie. It's the two, those two bizarre twins. They had like the big elongated chin prosthetics.
Oh yeah. Yeah. During the telethon.
Right. And they're just kind of like yodeling and drooling. Like that's what they're doing for 2 seconds on screen.
Hey, gotta fill time. The Rambo bit was too long. They had to cut away.
That's right. And of course, you know who got robbed of lots of screen time was
Fran Drescher.
Well, yeah, there should have been a lot more Fran Drescher. But you know, the Dr. Demento, gets no dialogue, and he's really all he does is get fed whipped cream. I mean, you see him in the audience. The first time you see him in the audience, you know, he doesn't have his top hat, so you're kind of like, is that him?
Sure.
But then you go, yeah.
Well, that would have been a giveaway. Sure, sure.
Right. But yeah, so he is in the film, but he's just kind of in the crowd. I mean, he's one of the people in the studio audience at the TV station. But, you know, I guess it's cool of Weird Al to make sure that he's in the movie.
You know? Yeah, you could have made him like his Uncle Harvey or something, you know, something a little more. But, you know, hey, he's there. It's kind of like Where's Waldo? It's like, look for Dr. Demento.
The thing is, with this movie, what does make it funny are all the little detours. It's almost like the very first Family Guy episode, you know, where it's really not funny or good at all on its own, but the little detours are hilarious and completely justify the experience and make, you know, make the whole experience enjoyable.
You're right. There's no talking dogs in this movie. Damn it.
No.
He didn't cash in on that.
Yeah, they should have. They parodied everything else. I mean, they have hokey Indiana Jones parody.
Right. Going for the Oscar.
Right. And you know, and again, that's, I was a little bit reluctant actually to throw this movie in as a palooza, because I mean, not that it always has to be, not that every palooza has to be, you know, masterpiece fucking theater, but I just, with this movie, you know, it'd be kind of like doing Airplane. You know, you can't, right. There's not a whole lot to do other than, oh yeah, wasn't that scene funny? Oh yeah, then there was that lesbian Nazi hookers. That was funny. Oh yeah.
Forced into weight watching camps, or what was it? Fat camps or something. I don't remember the line.
Right.
But yes.
And you know, occasionally you find this person. It was almost for a little while, especially when it was not on DVD and it was kind of like this thing that the studio had buried and hoped would die. There was like this tiny little brotherhood of people. You know, you'd go over, every once in a while you'd go over somebody's house and see the VHS tape and go like, wow, you know, like it was almost like you were part of this underground society that appreciated UHF.
Sure.
But that's a complete other detour.
Sweetheart, take my advice. Pods don't belong in podcasting.
But you know, I understand. I don't know if you can verify or just nod and smile. I don't know, but I understand that this movie is now getting Rocky Horrified, as in, you know, people are going to watch this
watching
movie.
Midnight showings.
Well, I don't know about midnight, but they're going to watch this movie in the theater and, you know, shouting along with it and kind of acting out the movie and even adding their own kind of funny lines.
I wouldn't doubt it. That would be kind of cool. I should see if there's anybody doing that around here, but that would be awesome. But yes, it's definitely, it's reached cult classic status, and I agree. I mean, it's one of those things that I have a copy of it somewhere, but a while back I actually ripped it and put it on my computer, and I just watch it whenever I need a lift. You know, whenever, you know, I just feel like slamming my forehead onto my desk a million times, I just start watching this movie and I'm happy. And I think that's what it all really comes down to me. It's a silly movie, totally a silly movie. And it's a parody of whatever was fresh at the time, which is okay. That's cool too. But if you can't laugh while you're watching this movie, there's something seriously wrong with you, because it makes fun of everything and everybody. And if you can't laugh at some line of it, even if it's, you know, the bum at the end who says, you know, change, you got change, mister. And he starts counting out the change. Thank you, a dollar. And he gives him a dollar in change. I mean, it's just silly little things and crazy big things, too, in this movie. And yeah, Kramer being proto-Kramer. And Fran Drescher being really annoying, but she, you know, she's funny too. The whole movie is just good stuff, and it's something I like to watch when I need a laugh. And I think every time it's the teaching pools how to fly, and I like the Rambo scene. I know it kind of takes forever as he's blowing up everything and I'm your worst nightmare and stuff like that. But you know, everyone's got to make fun of Rambo and Indiana Jones and Wheel of Fish. Red Snapper, very tasty.
And actually, as I understand it, I did a little bit of my homework for this, and as I understand it, they said that the director who made this movie had never done a feature-length film before.
No.
Believe it or not, now stay with me on this. And
Okay.
And they said that basically they had that wheel. Those are actual fish from the fish market, and that wheel had just been up all day.
Oh no!
In a studio full of people, they had, you know, a whole bunch of extras in the audience and studio and, you know, the filming lights on them. So as he said, by the end of the day, it was almost unbearable being in that room.
A red snapper. It's very tasty.
Oh dear.
So there you go. There's a little bit of trivia about the movie.
Okay, I'm thinking of something orange. Something orange. Orange. You give up? It's an orange. Get it? It's fun, huh? Okay, now I'm thinking of something blue. Something blue.
What? I had a point about UHF, but it's gone because it's UHF. It's not the Seventh Seal.
You can't overanalyze it.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
It's not Hamlet. You know, it's you can't say, well, I wonder what he meant. When the guy punched his fist through the wall and he looked at the watch to see what time it was, like, what was the deeper meaning of that? Like, no, that was just funny. You know, that's all. That was just a funny scene.
I also have come to really enjoy Blueberry Daiquiris as a result of this movie, too. I mean, dude, that's one quick reference there at the beginning, but still, Blueberry Daiquiri. Mine doesn't have an umbrella.
Yeah, well, actually,
now I'm just randomly quoting the movie, Jack. Cut me off here soon.
Yeah, well, and that, you know, that's the UHF experience. Last year or the year before, at a recent Weird Al convention, you know, they had a panel about this movie, and I guarantee it was just like, hey, wasn't that scene funny? Or, you know, they might have had Dr. Demento or somebody there saying, like, oh yeah, I was there for a day. Weird Al's the nicest guy. He's so funny, and it is a shame. And I wouldn't say UHF 2 should have happened, or maybe it should have. I don't know. But it's a shame that this is all the only feature-length film Weird Al has ever done. I hope before he finishes, before he hangs up his bendable guitar and his accordion, I hope that he does another movie. I will say that. And
that would be cool.
You know, as uber geeky as he is, and you know, and Weird Al, even I definitely will defend Weird Al as much as I would defend Steve Martin, but he's never been a huge one for subtlety.
No.
And this movie is not one for subtlety. Although I will...
This is important. This means something.
So Dan Shred, I want to turn it over to you. I want to thank you for coming on and talking UHF and lots of other stuff.
Yeah.
But I do want to thank you for helping me to kind of poorly frame UHF. For the Spatchapalooza.
Spatchapalooza. Awesome. That sounds like the 50% off sale at Spatula City. Spatchapalooza.
So yes, I would like to, I would give you a Spatula City gift certificate for being on the show. But
that would be awesome.
But A, there is no Spatula City. And B, it's 2011 and nobody gives out gift certificates anymore.
That's true.
But see, I'm apparently, just like this movie, I am hopelessly dated and living in the past. Dan Charette shut down the UHF Palooza. No pressure.
I'm a miserable, worthless hunk of slime, man. Just bash my head in right now. I don't know what else to say, except I love this movie. I think it's cool that it got to be one of the Paloozas. And thank you for having me on the show, man, to ramble about Al, the man, the myth, the legend.
Well, this is a story about a guy named Al, and he lived in the sewer with his hamster pal, but the sanitation workers really didn't approve, so he packed up his accordion and had to move to a city in Ohio where he lived in a tree, and he worked in a nasal decongestant factory, and he played on the company bowling team, and every single night he had a strange recurring dream where he was wearing lederhosen in a vat of sour cream, but that's really not important to the story. Well, the very next year he met a dental hygienist with a spatula tattooed on her arm, but he didn't keep in touch and he lost her number then. And he got himself a job on a tater tot farm, and he spent his life savings on a split-level cave 20 miles below the surface of the earth, and he really makes a mighty fine jelly bean and pickle sandwich for what it's worth. Then one day Al was in the forest trying to get a tan when he heard the loud complainings of a funny little man who was caught in a bear trap, and Al set him free, and the funny little man was just as grateful as could be. And it turns out he's a big shot producer on TV, so he got Al a contract, and what do you know? Now he's got his very own Weird Al show! Why, yes, I do know that from memory. Yes, that is the kind of stuff my brain is filled with. For those of you who may not know this, yes, there really was a Weird Al TV show for a brief period in the fall of 1997. Yes, I watched it. Amy Bowen, signing out for this segment.